This is the BBC, with the Daily Minutes podcast. Oh no, it isn't. I mean, this is the Daily Minutes podcast. This is, however, not the BBC.
Daily Minutes, podcast 6 oktober 2019. Dit is het bulletin van zondag. Ja, en toen had ik gisteren al een uitzending ingesproken, ergens vroeg op de dag. Maar later ontwikkelde zich hoofdpijn en waar ik eigenlijk al een paar dagen mee liep. Ik moest telkens rustig aandoen om het niet te laten doorzetten. Maar zaterdag is een risicodag en sorry dat ik het zoveel over mijn hoofd van heb. Maar ja, ik moet toch verklaren waarom ik er niet ben gisteren. Of waarom ik er niet was. Nee, ik kon de uitzending gewoon niet in elkaar zetten. Dat was onmogelijk. En ja, ik kan op zo'n dag ook maar beter rustig aandoen om te voorkomen dat het erger wordt. Voor je het weet, loop ik er meerdere dagen mee rond. Het lijkt nu achter de rug. Laat ik het daarmee afsluiten. Ik zit even rond te kijken wat voor nieuws er zo al is. Wat me het eerste opvalt is dat de USCA, dat is de Zwitserse amateurvereniging, die wil het probleem van de jongere amateurs aankaarten. We spreken zelfs over, tenminste in de titel op een artikel op Southgate ANC, over de crisis rond de jonge amateurs. In 2018 werd er bij de USCA, ik weet niet wat het totaal aantal leden is, was er maar één amateur onder de 25 die lid werd van de vereniging. En al 5 jaar zijn ze bezig met een beleid wat niet erg goed werkt. Er is eigenlijk nog nooit een goede oplossing voor gekomen. Ja, mijn stelling is heel simpel. We moeten op het begin inzetten, of veel meer inzetten op de smartphone-achtige toepassingen. Chatten op de amateurbanden, iets waar ik zelf ook bezig ben. Al gaat het niet snel wat voor te ontwikkelen. Dat zijn de dingen die de jeugd aanspreken en waarmee we de jeugd naar de hobby halen. Dingen als SDR en een beetje op het gebied van hackerspace-achtige toestanden. Nee, maar in ieder geval, naar dat soort dingen moeten we toe. Er vindt vanuit die groepen wel wat zij-instroming bij de hobby plaats. Maar dat mag nog niet veel naam hebben. En dat zijn ook vooral vaak de wat oudere mensen. Maar daar valt wat te halen voor ons amateurs. Ja, als veel van de amateurs maar blijven hangen aan apparatuur uit de jaren 70 en hoe mooi het toen was en hoe ideaal dat soort apparatuur is ten opzichte van de huidige spullen. Ja, dat trekt geen jonge mensen aan, hè. En gelukkig is het wel verbeterd, maar jarenlang prijkt er op het kaft van bijvoorbeeld een Electron bijna bij voortduring allerlei buizenapparaten. En ja, heel veel mensen vinden dat erg fijn om te zien, maar daar trek je de jeugd niet mee aan, dus dat is, dat is wel een probleem. Ik heb wel eens wat eraan gedaan in het verleden, dat werkte ook niet zo super, maar in ieder geval wat erg aanspreekt bij ook bij jonge mensen, dat is het uitzenden van data. Daar doe ik natuurlijk wel veel aan. En ik weet vanuit de uitzending op PI2NOS dat het juist ook de jongeren aansprak. Alleen was er vanuit de oudere groep dan weer zoveel kritiek op dat ik uiteindelijk voor die kritiek bezweken ben. En de uitzendingen voor een groot deel heb geannuleerd, zeg maar. Dat is later een blokje van een minuut of 2 minuten voor teruggekomen. Hoeveel was het? 10 seconden. In ieder geval was dat zeer kort. En ja, dat is wel jammer. Dat het dan doe je zoiets dat het door de oudere groep niet geaccepteerd wordt. Hè, of gewaardeerd wordt. Of zelfs verketterd wordt. Maar goed, er is alweer een amateur in de VS die vanwege storen op een repeater een forse boete boven het hoofd hangt. Dat is een amateur, even kijken waar komt die vandaan. New York. En in New York gebeurt een hoop wat dat betreft. Nog maar 2,5 jaar geleden smeekte de het ERRL-voorzitterschap aan de FCC om dat toch eindelijk eens op te treden. Omdat het niet alleen op de amateurbanden gebeurde, maar ook op de repeaters van de ambulances en van de politie. En dat er daar in de pers al geluiden waren dat het amateurs waren die de mensen onder hun gelederen niet in bedwang wisten te houden. Terwijl het gewoon iemand was die helemaal niks met de zendhobby te maken had. Hè. Maar deze amateur die hangt nu een boete van $17.000 boven het hoofd. Vanwege het moedwillig storen op een amateur repeater. Nou, ik volg nu hetgeen wat ik gisteren al ingesproken had. Als het een beetje mee zit, dan heb ik zo dadelijk ook nog een aantal afbeeldingen. Een paar. Ik mik op een stuk of 4. In DRM in ieder geval. Maar het zou kunnen dat ik dat vooraf laat gaan door een stuk in FL Digi. Daily Minutes podcast, 5 oktober 2019. Dit is het bulletin van zaterdag. Ja, in het Engelse taaldomein is het begrip volgens mij meer ingeburgerd en bekender dan dat het hier is. Maar serendipiteit. Ik zei altijd serendipiditeit, maar dat is het niet. Serendipiteit is het vinden van iets onverwachts en bruikbaars, terwijl de vinder op zoek was naar iets totaal anders. Het begrip heeft mij altijd erg aangesproken, vanaf mijn kindertijd al. Het vinden van iets onverwachts en bruikbaars, terwijl de vinder op zoek was naar iets totaal anders. Zo'n anderhalve week geleden, ik zat een beetje met de Daily Minutes in het slop. En zo'n anderhalve week geleden had ik geen tijd. En eigenlijk heel spontaan ben ik begonnen met vertellen over mijn amateur-televisie-activiteiten in de jaren 80. En dat heeft eigenlijk een vorm opgeleverd van de Daily Minutes die anders was dan daarvoor. En die ook veel minder tijd kost. En veel spontaner is. Volgens mij het aantal luisteraars is groter. Dus dat is wel grappig. Dat is met 30% toegenomen sinds ik ermee begonnen ben. Dus dat zegt wel iets. Ik heb er nog nauwelijks reacties op gehad op die nieuwe stijl. Ik heb daar wel een paar keer aan gehint. Maar het is iets wat ik denk ik de komende tijd verder wil uitontwikkelen. Dus in plaats van de zaken wat het precies uit te schrijven, dat ga ik voor mijn Engelse dingen die ik ook doe wel blijven doen. Maar in het Nederlands met deze podcast wil ik experimenteren met deze nieuwe stijl. Ik wil daar wel iets meer structuur in brengen, maar die spontaniteit die moet blijven. Dus dat, en ook de snelheid waarmee ik het kan maken, want het kost betrekkelijk weinig tijd. En ik kan vooral de dingen, mijn oprispingen, zoals ik ze wel eens noem, maar goed, het klinkt wat negatiever dan het is, maar die wil ik ook direct kunnen gebruiken. Ik ben daar erg goed in. Mijn brein is zo dat daar op een of andere manier altijd rare dingen uit naar boven komen borrelen, waar ik dan ineens ook heel veel over te vertellen heb. En dat moet er dan ook uit en het kost me moeite om dat binnen te houden. Hoewel het vaak sociaal veel meer aanvaardbaar is om het niet te vertellen, maar goed. Dat aspect aan mij, die quirkiness, hoe zeg je dat in goed Nederlands, die gekkigheid. Maar die quirkiness, die wil ik meer gaan benutten. En ik denk dat ook die podcast heel uniek maakt. Er is niemand anders die dat op die manier kan. Maar ik wil er wat meer lijn in brengen door toch van tevoren wat meer zorgen dat ik niet steeds over de kat hoef te praten. En dat ik niet steeds echt moet zoeken naar dingen. En het is misschien ook beter dat ik niet elke keer begin van ik heb niets te vertellen. Dat moet ik eigenlijk wel zeggen, want alleen daarmee krijg ik die inspiratie naar boven. Als ik, ik weet niet of degene die luisteren, hoe moet ik dat zeggen, jullie luisteraars, of je de Liquidator kent. Dat is een van mijn favoriete programma's. Momenteel wordt het weer eens herhaald op Discovery. De afleveringen zijn een jaar of 8 oud. En 3 jaar geleden dacht ik al, ik zie ze nooit meer, want ze zullen ze vast niet meer herhalen. En ik ben er nu nog meerdere tegengekomen die ik niet gezien bleek te hebben. Maar die Liquidator, dat is iemand die verkoopt, die koopt grote partijen op. En dan verkoopt hij dat weer en die weet dat ook altijd weer met winst te verkopen. Dat is een van oorsprong volgens mij Duitse man, of in ieder geval van Duitse voorouders, die in het westen van Canada woont, dus heel ver weg en bij Calgary in de buurt. Die koopt dan zo'n partij, dat wil ik zeggen. En dan zegt hij, oh jee, wat heb ik nu weer gekocht? En hoe raak ik dat nou weer kwijt? En er is helemaal geen koper voor en dit en dat. En nou ja, goed. Dat is heel herkenbaar. Ik moet aan het begin van zo'n podcast moet ik dus ook zoiets hebben. Ik moet een grondidee hebben. Maar vervolgens moet ik eigenlijk min of meer in paniek raken dat ik niks te vertellen heb. En dan denk ik van nou, er komt echt niks. Het wordt niks. Ik stop binnen een minuut even dikker. Maar dan zit ik 20 minuten te praten over iets wat best wel aardig is. Of misschien zelfs wel heel leuk. Dus die kant wil ik uit. Ik wil vermijden. En dat is waarom ik het nooit eerder gedaan heb. Ik wil vermijden dat het op doorgangen via de amateurband gaat lijken. Want daar hint ik van de week ook al een keer aan. Dat is wel gesuggereerd dat ik de manier waarop ik doorgangen houd, dat ik die in een soort van uitzending zou vervatten. Maar doorgangen zijn toch eigenlijk vooral ook wel een tweespraak. En dat is dit heel duidelijk niet. Dit is voor mij heel persoonlijk zonder inbreng van anderen. Hoewel ik daar niet doof voor ben. Dus als je suggesties hebt waar ik het eens een keer over zou kunnen hebben, houd je vooral niet in. Dat is zeer welkom. Maar het is toch mijn praatje. Het is niet een tweegesprek. Maar goed, los daarvan. Zonder luisteraars heb ik er ook niet zoveel aan. Dus ook dat wordt op prijs gesteld. Zeker, ik zeg dat niet zo vaak, maar ik, doordat er toch mensen luisteren naar die rare uitingen van mij, zijn er niet meer zoveel als via PE2NOS, hoewel het niet tegenvalt. Maar zonder dat zou het natuurlijk niks zijn. Ik wil in die toekomstige uitingen ook wat meer van het pad van de zendhobby afgaan. Wat ik vooral ook wel wil doen is, ik zou het heel graag, en daar ging ik van de week ook een beetje in die richting, maar dat is op deze manier toch wat lastig om te doen. Maar ik wil eigenlijk wel aandacht besteden aan de zendhobby en met name dingen die mij daarin aanspreken. Zoals bijvoorbeeld werken met QRP, Morse telegrafie, zelfbouw, maar ook allerlei nieuwe dingen zoals nieuwe modulatiesoorten. Die star is dan niet meer zo verschrikkelijk nieuw, maar er komen ook weer allerlei nieuwe dingen op. SDR, daar wil ik ook aandacht aan gaan besteden. Dat zijn dingen die niet zonder voorbereiding kunnen, maar ik wil het voorlopig vermijden om dat te gaan scripten weer. Dus dat moet voor de vuist weg. Wat je ook ziet is dat, er zit een eur, maar dat de eurs ofwel minder opvallen, tenminste mij minder opvallen, of dat ze er minder zijn. Ik denk ook dat ze er minder zijn. In het verleden haalde ik ze vaak weg, maar ze zijn minder storend. Nu komen er ineens heel veel us. Die komen vanzelf. Maar de inspiratie stokt ook een klein beetje. Wat ik vaak doe is dat ik neem hem achter elkaar op. Maar dan hou ik me gewoon een minuut mijn mond. En dat knip ik er dan later uit. Ik zie dat niet als smokkelen als ik niks zeg. Een lange pauze die moet je bij zoiets kunnen hebben. Dat kun je natuurlijk niet doen als je voor een zaal staat. Of zelfs voor de amateurzender niet als het live is. Maar dat gaat wel als je het opneemt. En ik heb heel af en toe, ik heb dat nu sinds, even kijken, vorige week donderdag geloof ik ben ik begonnen. Ik heb 1 of 2 dagen overgeslagen, maar al die andere dagen heb ik dat steeds op deze manier gedaan. En ik heb geloof ik maar 2 keer echt een ontsporing gehad. 1 of 2 keer waarbij het zodanig was dat ik echt een heel stuk overnieuw moest doen. Terwijl tot nog toe bij die gescripte uitzendingen dat best wel geregeld gebeurde. Want je leest een zin niet helemaal goed of je legt de klemtoon verkeerd. Dat gebeurt best vaak. En ik ben ook best kritisch, dus daar ben ik er niet tevreden over. En ik vind ook dat als je het nieuws leest, moet je dat perfect doen. En dan moet het ook perfect klinken. Als je het niet perfect doet, moet je de mensen niet opzadelen met jouw vergissingen. Tenzij het in de vorm van bloopers is achteraf. Of, ja, je kunt er ook wel eens eentje laten zitten. Maar beter van niet. Ja, ik denk dat het onderwerp micronaties zich minder goed daarvoor voorleent. Omdat eigenlijk dat toch ook wel gescript is wat ik aan het maken ben. Hè? Want het is toch een boek in wording waar ik allerlei schrijfoefeningen voor doe. En dat staat al op papier. Dus dat kun je eigenlijk alleen maar oplezen. Ik denk dat er een heel groot verschil is in de spontaniteit. Dus ook was het tijdens de Daily Minutes gezegd dat mensen dat waardeerden. Dat ik het toch wat spontaner zou doen. En ook dat waar bijvoorbeeld echt op gereageerd is in de tijd op PI2NOS, is dat mensen vonden dat ik de versprekingen er wel beter in kon laten. Niet allemaal, maar het was toch wel leuk als er af en toe een paar in zaten. Want het maakte het wat menselijker. Op de radio hoor je dat niet zoveel. Hè? Dus dat is wel iets wat het waar de afwisseling zit. Maar ja, bij spontaan praten verspreek je niet zo makkelijk. En gaat dat ook niet zo makkelijk mis. Dus dat is, het is gewoon een andere stijl. Het bevalt me om te doen. Het bevalt me hoe het klinkt. En ik blijf dat een tijdje doen. En voor hetzelfde is de inspiratie over een week op. En komt helemaal niks meer uit. En ben ik geen onderwerpen meer. En dan moet ik toch weer op de andere manier doen. Of iets anders bedenken. Dat kan ook. Amateur Radio Newsline. Dat is wat we op zaterdag meestal hebben. En dat begint dus nu.
Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2188. With a release date of Friday, October 4th, 2019. To follow in 5... 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A remote South Pacific island is on the air. Disc jockeys find a net that's just for them, and hams push for a second geostationary amateur satellite. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2188 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this week's report with a story of cooperation in the face of yet another hurricane. While hams in the Azores activated their emergency network with the approach of Hurricane Lorenzo in the final days days of September, AMSAT announced it was making amateur satellite AO92 available as requested by hams in the Azores. The availability of the satellite helped bolster readiness, which also got a boost from HF operations, local analog repeaters, and DMR. The AO92 satellite was launched in January of 2018. In an unusual occurrence, the hurricane crossed the Atlantic Ocean and was headed toward Europe as an extratropical cyclone, weakening somewhat en route. The Tokelau expedition is active. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us more about this team effort in the South Pacific.
The remote South Pacific Tokelau Islands have come alive with a large international team of radio operators who are on the air as ZK3A until the 11th of October. The D expedition, which is taking place a little more than 300 miles or 500 kilometres north of Samoa, was recently approved by the ARRL's award branch for DXCC credit. The hams are operating from the New Zealand territory using CW, SSB, Earth Moon Earth and various digital modes including PSK31, FT8 and RTTY. Listen for them on 160 through 6 metres. The team comprises 19 operators from 9 nations and 4 continents: North America, Europe, Oceania, and South America. Follow them on the website tokelau2019.com and then start listening. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Never mind going to the library to find a book. How about checking out a chat with an astronaut instead? For those details, we turn to Kevin Troutman, N5PRE.
It's not unusual for the Sonoma County Main Library to bring the world to visitors. All the books and videos and other media in the Santa Rosa, California Library deliver a universe of wisdom and experience. On the 1st of October, however, the library delivered the world via radio. A radio aboard the International Space Station operated by astronaut Ken Haig, KG5TMV, in a telebridge contact sponsored by the Sonoma County Radio Amateurs and linked with the Eris Telebridge Station K6DUE in Greenbelt, Maryland. Youngsters from the Santa Rosa Middle School got to ask the astronauts a range of questions, according to the Amateur Radio Club member Daryl, KI6MSP. The students, many of whom had been affected by the recent California wildfires, wanted to know how natural disasters, including the current crop of Atlantic hurricanes, looked when viewed from space, and what it felt like sitting aboard a rocket as it hurtled away from the Earth. Tim Bosma, W6MU, director of the Amateur Radio Ground Station at the Santa Rosa Junior College, said that the college's involvement in the ARRIS contact helped spark the students' imaginations and hopefully increase their interest in science. Of course, if they're looking for any books on the subject, they'll be back at the library before too long. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Three amateur radio clubs in the UK are feeling mighty proud right now. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us why.
The Radio Society of Great Britain has announced the top three winners in its National Club of the Year competition for 2018. Top honours went to the Hilderston Radio Society in Region 10, followed by the Bush Valley Amateur Radio Club in Region 8. The third place went to Essex Ham in Region 12. The Hilderston Society, which meets in Margate, notes on its website that it is a repeat award winner, having previously received Club of the Year honours in its region for 2013, 14 and 15. The Bush Valley Club has been meeting since 2008 and meets on the last Thursday of each month, according to its website. Essex Ham began in 2011, developing from a website created to assist new holders of foundation licenses, and it now supports local area clubs as well. The awards were made at the Society's National Ham Fest, held in Newark on the 27th and 28th of September. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Congratulations to Dayton, Ohio area broadcast veteran Terry Lafferty, W8WLW, following his induction into the Dayton Area Broadcasters Hall of Fame. The radio amateur has more than 50 years as a commercial broadcaster. He is a veteran of WING, WHIO, and WLW, and most recently has been a news anchor at WPTW. Terry was inducted late last month. And while we're on the subject of commercial broadcasting, there's a welcome spot on the amateur bands where hams gather to share their stories about their lives as DJs in the 1960s. Let's hear more from Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
If you're a former commercial radio rock music DJ from the 60s who's rocking the airwaves now on the amateur frequencies instead, here are two opportunities for you to rewind that classic tape. The 1960s pop, rock, music, and TV shows Net meets two nights a week, and after check-in, you get to share and hear some tales from Top 40 and engage in some friendly trivia competition with kindred spirits. The formerly directed Net meets Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time in the U.S. on the W7EI-L EchoLink node and locally on the 147.220 repeater from Prescott, Arizona. It also meets on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time in the U.S. on the KA7LFX-R EchoLink node and locally on the 224.060 repeater from Tucson, Arizona. The Net began 12 years ago as a celebration of 60s-era radio rock and pop, as well as TV programming from that era. John, N7LQR, writes in a QRZ.com forum that all hams are welcome, but most especially former commercial radio DJs. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB0QXW repeater in St. Louis, Missouri at 145.210 megahertz on Monday nights after the World Friendship Net on Echolink. Satellite enthusiasts are being encouraged to share ideas for a new geostationary Earth orbit satellite for hams, and a forum has begun just for them, as we hear from Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
A new online discussion group is formed to explore progress in getting a geostationary Earth orbit amateur radio satellite for the Americas. Participants track the progress of acquiring a transponder that would serve IARU Region 2, which is North and South America. This would give the region the kind of coverage that Europe and Africa presently have with QO100, the Qatari satellite launched last November. Bernard KC9SGV posted on the QRZ forum that hams are encouraged to share images and links about their satellite ground station hardware, as well as software, and to share ideas about having a similar satellite for Region 2 hams to access. The discussion group is geo@groups.io. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Avid contesters in Australia were just given the green light to use 2x1 call signs. John Williams, VK4JJW, fills us in on what's involved.
The Australian Communications and Media Authority has granted VK contest stations the right to use 2x1 call signs, according to the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. The call signs will be valid for 12 months and will be available for holders of advanced licenses who are participating in contests. RASA President Glenn VK4DU noted in a report on Southgate Amateur Radio News that a committee of experienced contesters from around Australia presented recommendations to the ACMA, which agreed to make call signs available from VK0A through VK9Z, managed by the Australian Maritime College on behalf of the ACMA. Glenn noted that holders of the 2x1 call signs will be required to achieve at least 750 contacts in a 12-month period, participating in at least four contests. He said this would be considered proof of the holder's commitment to being an active contester. No date was announced for when the first call signs will be issued. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
There's a royal birthday celebration planned in Belgium, and hams can have their call signs reflect the occasion. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has the details.
Radio amateurs in Belgium are being permitted to use a special call sign prefix between the 25th of October and the 25th of December in recognition of the birthday of the nation's Princess Elizabeth, who will be 18 on October 25th. the OR prefix will be allowed as a replacement of the standard ON for all individual radio amateurs and clubs, but excluding holders of shortened contest call signs. The decision was made by the Belgian Institute for Postal Services and Telecommunications, granting an earlier request from the Royal Union of Belgian Radio Amateurs. The Royal Union has more than 2,800 members. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In the world of DX, Chris, SP6DVP/3Z6V will activate the special event call sign 3Z50DVP to celebrate his 50th anniversary as a ham. He will be on the air from October 15th to April 30th of 2020. He will be using CW, SSB, RIDI, and FT8. QSL to his home call sign, direct by the Bureau or LOTW. Be listening for Maurizio, IK2GZU, who is operating from Tanzania while working at the new hospital and orphanage until October 28th. He's using the call sign FH3MB while on the air on HF during his spare time. Send QSLs to IK2GZU, direct or by the Bureau. QSLs can also be sent to LOTW and EQSL. Operators Ted JF1CCH and IG JQ1SUO will be active as JF1CCH/0 and JQ1SUO/0 from Sado Island on October 13th and 14th. Listen for them on various HF bands using CW, SSB, and FT8. QSL to their home call signs. There is disappointing news for DX chasers awaiting the DX position to Pajaros Rocks. It has been canceled. A posting on DX World noted that 3G1DX was denied the necessary permit to land on the island and all donations will be refunded. In Kuwait, Abdallah, 9K2GS will be active as 9K2K during the CQWWDX SSB contest on October 26th and 27th. QSL via EC5AC or LOTW. Would you follow your own radio signals across an ocean to meet up with a ham friend you've known for 70 years? Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us about one man who did.
The two became friends almost three generations ago. The retired TV engineer in the UK and the American doctor from Kentucky. Now Ted Trowell, G2HKU, is 96 and living in a care home on the Isle of Sheppey. And physician Bill Maxson, N4AR, who is 82, decided it was time for another eyeball QSO. It was to be their second in more than 70 years, and the first in nearly 30. When Bill flew from the U.S. to see his friend in late September, he also had a mission to accomplish: to present Ted with a certificate confirming his election as an honored member of the worldwide first-class CW Operators Club, an international fraternity founded in the UK in 1938 to foster appreciation of the mode. The two also had a lot of catching up to do. They had become friends over the air in the 1950s in conversation shaped by Kiers and spelled out in CW. Later, they took their ragtue to SSB, giving voice to their exchanges. That hasn't changed. Ted has been in a care home for the past few years, according to several press accounts, but still keeps up with his hobby and his friend Bill. His room doubles as his shack, and the home's managers permitted the installation of a wire antenna. Let the logbook show that this special September QSO was a valid contact, achieved by the band of brothers, with both operators using the greatest mode of all, person-to-person. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Daryl Paul, KI6MSP, DXWorld.net, IARU Region 2, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, The Press Democrat, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WHIO-TV, WTWW Shortwave, WWV, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Hello, this is Bob McCready, G0FGX, with the TX Talk podcast of the GB2RS News from the Radio Society of Great Britain for Sunday, the 6th of October 2019. The news headlines: Bampton School to contact the ISS on Tuesday, exams committees reorganised, and enter the construction competition. Bampton School in East Devon will make their contact with the International Space Station on Tuesday, the 8th of October at 1:51 p.m. They'll be operating as Golf Bravo 4, Bravo Papa Sierra, and they'll contact NA1SS on the station, speaking to Drew Morgan, Kilo India 5, Alpha Alpha Alpha. The downlink signals will be on 145.800 FM and will be audible in many parts of Europe. In January 2019, the RSGB announced that the exam committee structure would be changing. The Examinations and Syllabus Review Group, or ESRG, has now been formed to replace the previous examinations group. The new group includes places for club tutors who hold a full amateur radio licence and have taught the advanced syllabus for at least 2 years. The RSGB is seeking to appoint a chair and up to 3 additional members. Further information about the group, including its terms of reference and membership, can be found on the RSGB website at rsgb.org/ESRG. And you can also email the Examination Standards Committee Chair, Tony Kent, Golf 8 Papa Bravo Hotel, via esc.chair@rsgb.org.uk. That's esc.chair@rsgb.org.uk for an application. And remember, include a brief description of your relevant experience. There's still time to put in an entry for the RSGB annual construction competition, which will be judged at the RSGB convention on the 12th. Entries covering any aspect of amateur radio are welcome, and any project may be entered other than previous winners in this competition. If you've entered a club or national construction competition or written up a project for your club magazine, you've done most of the work needed to enter the RSGB construction competition. Just go to rsgb.org/construction-competition to find out more. Regrettably, 2 items were stolen from the MLNS stand at the National Hamfest last Saturday. A Kenwood TH-D74E serial number B6B10239, complete with the battery and antenna, was removed from the stand. And also a Nissai Digital SWR power meter was stolen as well. That's type RS70. So that serial number again of the TH-D74E was B6B10239. If you're offered either of these items, please contact Martin Lynch & Sons. The RSGB convention takes place in Milton Keynes from the 11th to the 13th of October, kindly sponsored by Martin Lynch & Sons. The programme of lectures and workshops is now online at rsgb.org/convention. The closing date for online discount day tickets is the 7th of October. Weekend package bookings can be made until midnight, the 6th of October, at rsgb.org/convention. If you've got tickets for the gala dinner on Saturday and you wish to reserve a table with friends, send your name and call sign details to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. From 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the 12th and 13th of October, UK Army, Navy and Air Cadet units will be carrying out Exercise Blue Ham 19. Operations will be on the 5 MHz shared band, and amateurs may claim a certificate if they contact 10 or more stations over the weekend and submit a copy of their log sheet. QSO exchange details and claim info are at tinyurl.com/gb2rs-blueham-19. That's tinyurl.com/ and then the gb2rs-blueham-19. And it's the last chance of 2019 to make contact with cadets. John Rogers, Mike Zero, Juliet Alpha Victor and David Lauder, Golf Zero Sierra November Oscar, are going to be running an RFI clinic at the RSGB convention on Saturday at 4:45. The session will consist of a short presentation on the tools and techniques used to locate and identify RFI sources. Then a number of test setups and live demos will be available using radios, SDRs and spectrum analysers to let you see and hear some of these common RFI sources. If you have an unusual source, then please bring it along for them to investigate. Due to essential maintenance work, the GB3RS radio room at the RSGB's National Radio Centre at Bletchley Park is going to be closed on Wednesday, the 9th of October. The NRC itself will remain open to visitors, but with the radio room closed, it will be unavailable for visiting radio amateurs to operate the station. We apologise for any inconvenience and anticipate the station to be fully operational again by Thursday morning. There will be two Raspberry Pi workshops held on Saturday the 12th at the RSGB convention. Raspberry Pi owners that are new to Linux and the Pi who would like to understand more about its capabilities in amateur radio should bring along their own Pi. The workshop will supply the other equipment. There are limited spaces but plenty of room for observers, and handouts will be provided. And again, if you check out rsgb.org/convention, you can get the timings. Let's have a look now at the details of rallies and events for the coming week. Sunday the 6th of October, the 46th Welsh Radio Rally takes place at Rougemont School. That's at Llantarnam Hall in Malpas, Newport, and the postcode is November Papa 206 Quebec Bravo. Doors open from 10 until 4 or 9:45 in the morning for disabled visitors. Admittance is £2.50, and there'll be trade stands, a bring and buy, an RSGB bookstall, and special interest groups. Lectures are going to be taking place during the day as well. There's catering on site, and Rob Evans, Mike Whiskey Zero, Charlie Victor Tango can tell you more. And Rob's number's 01-495-220-455. And as I think you've gathered by now, the RSGB convention takes place from the 11th to the 13th of October, with delegates being encouraged to visit the RSGB's National Radio Centre at Bletchley Park on Friday as part of the weekend activities. Taking part at Kent's Hill Park Training and Conference Centre, Swallow House, Timbolt Drive in Kent's Hill Park, Milton Keynes, Buckinghamshire, the postcode Mike Kilo 76 Bravo Zulu. The convention features five streams of lectures and workshops to suit all areas of amateur radio interest. Check out rsgb.org/convention. Next Sunday, the 13th, the Hornsea Amateur Radio Rally is going to be held in the Floral Hall, Hornsea, and the postcode is Hotel Uniform 181 November, Quebec. Doors open at 10, admission is £2, with under 14s free. The bring and buy will be run by Hornsea ARC. There'll be trade stands showing radio equipment, computers, and there'll be an RSGB bookstall as well. Hot and cold food will be available in the cafe. And Les, 2 Echo Zero, Limo, Bravo, Juliet can tell you more on 01377 252 393, 01377 252 393, or you could check out hornseaarc.co.uk. So that's Hornsea, HornseaARC, all one word, .co.uk. Next Sunday, the 13th, sees the Holsworthy Radio Rally take place at its new venue, which is Holsworthy Leisure Centre, Well Park, Western Road, Holsworthy, in Devon, and the postcode is EX226 Delta Hotel. There are traders to bring and buy and catering on site. The venue's got separate disabled access via the traders' side door entrance, and a club steward will be on duty in the car park. Doors open at 8 for traders, 10 for visitors, and it's Howard Mike Zero, Mike Yankee Bravo, that you need to contact to get more information. And you can email via holsworthyarc, or one word, at gmail.com. holsworthyarc@gmail.com. And if you want to send your details for your 2020 rally and event plans, get them in as soon as possible to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Now let's take a look at the DX news from 425 DX News and other sources. Parsi, Oscar Hotel 3 Whiskey Sierra is going to be active as Oscar Juliet Zero Whiskey, Oscar Juliet Zero / Oscar Hotel 3 Whiskey Sierra, and Oscar Juliet Zero / Oscar Golf 3 Alpha from Market Reef. IOTA reference Echo Uniform 053, and this is happening until the 12th of October. He's going to be operating CW and SSB on the 80 to 30 meter bands, and this is expected to be the last activity for Market Reef's Golden Jubilee celebrations. Ravi, Victor Uniform 2, India X-Ray is going to be on Mahé Island in the Seychelles, and that's Alpha Foxtrot 024, until the 30th of June 2021, operating SSB and digital modes as Sierra 79 Victor Uniform, and he'll be there on the 80 through to 10 metre bands. Vernon, November 5 Echo, and James, November Tango 5 Victor, are going to be operating as Victor 31 Charlie and Victor 31 Juliet Whiskey, respectively, from Belize until the 12th of October. QSL for that one via Logbook of the World or via home calls, either direct or via the Bureau. Members of the Italian de-expedition team will be on the air from Liberia until the 11th of October. An unusual feature of this trip is that instead of the normal Echo Lima prefix, they'll be using Alpha 82 X-ray for CW and SSB contacts and Alpha 82 Zulu for digital contacts. The QSL manager is Italy 2 Yankee Sierra Bravo, and there will be an online log. Istvan, Hotel Alpha 5, Alpha Oscar, is in Lesotho until the 19th of October, using the call sign 7 Papa 8 Oscar. He will be focusing on the high bands, mainly on CW and FT8, and QSL via the home call. Just one special event to talk about under our special event news, and the call sign Golf Bravo 100 Hotel Alpha Lima has been issued to commemorate 100 years of RAF Halton in conjunction with the many events that are taking place celebrating the anniversary. The call may also be claimed towards the Airfields on the Air Award and is recognised by RAFARs for all their awards. The call sign will be used most Saturdays up until the end of the year. And if you've got a special event you want to tell us about, send the details to radcom@rsgb.org.uk as early as possible, then you can get some free publicity. And as we always remind you, it is a licensing condition that stations using a UK special event call sign must be open to the public. Contest news, and the weekend's busy with several contests taking place. The IARU 432 MHz to 245 GHz contest runs for 24 hours, finishing at 1400 UTC, Sunday the 6th, using all modes, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. The Oceania DXSSB contest runs for 24 hours until 0800 UTC on Sunday the 6th, using SSB only on the 1.8 to 28 MHz contest bands, the exchange, signal report and serial number. Sunday the 6th also sees the DX contest running from 0500 to 2300 UTC using CW and SSB on the 3.5 to 28 MHz contest bands, the exchange's signal report and serial number. Also on Sunday the 6th, Worked All Britain DX contest runs from 0500 to 2300 UTC using SSB only on the 3.5 to 28 MHz contest bands, the exchange's signal report, serial number and WAB area. On Monday, the Pioneer FT4 Series contest takes place. That's from 1900 to 2000 on the 3.5 MHz band, and the exchange is your signal report and four-character locator. The IRTS 80 metres Evening Counties contest is running from 1900 to 2000 UTC using CW and SSB on the 3.5 MHz band, and the exchange's signal report and serial number, and EI and GI stations also send the county. On Tuesday, the 432 MHz FM activity contest runs from 1800 to 1855 UTC using FM only. It's followed by the All Mode 432 MHz UK activity contest from 1900 to 2130 UTC. The exchange for both contests is signal report, serial number and locator. On Thursday, the 50 MHz machine-generated mode activity contest runs from 1800 to 1855 UTC, and the exchange for that is signal report and your four-character locator. That will be followed by the all-mode 50 MHz UK activity contest from 1900 to 2130 UTC. The exchange for that contest is signal report, serial number and locator. The Oceania DXCW contest runs for 24 hours from 0800 UTC on the 12th to 0800 UTC on the 13th, and that one uses the 1.8 to 28 MHz contest bands, the exchange's signal report and serial number. Next Sunday, the 13th, is the IRTS 40 metres counties contest. That runs from 1200 to 1400 UTC using CW and SSB, and the exchange's signal report and serial number, and EI and GI stations also send their county. And to finish up, as always, the radio propagation report compiled by Golf 0 Kilo Yankee Alpha, Golf 3 Yankee Lima Alpha and Golf 4 Bravo Alpha Oscar on Friday the 4th of October. We had a real mixed bag in terms of HF propagation last week. The middle of the week through to Friday was actually quite good. Peter, Golf 3 X-Ray Juliet Echo, ran a very compromised 20-metre WSPR station from the Propagation Studies Committee stand at the Newark Hamfest, but was picked up as far afield as the southern states in the USA, despite having an antenna that was actually inside the building. Saturday was a different story, though, thanks to a geomagnetic storm that saw the KP index soar to 5. 20 metres was pretty lousy, and WSPR on 30 metres from Newark only returned a few European spots. The sun remained spotless last week, and HF propagation is again being dominated by geomagnetic disturbances. Next week, NOAA has the solar flux stuck at around 68, with zero sunspots. We may see the effects of another coronal hole fall on Sunday the 6th of October, with the KP index predicted to rise to 4. Look out for a possible pre-auroral enhancement. The disturbance may be relatively short-lived, with the KP index falling to 2 for the rest of the week. And there are a number of de-expeditions on at the moment. The Alpha 82 X-ray and Alpha 82 Zulu de-expedition to Liberia may be one of the easier ones to catch, with openings from 0600 to 0800 hours on 30 metres to 15 metres being favourite. After the slight midday D-layer absorption lull, openings again occur all afternoon, so keep an eye on the DX cluster to see where they're operating. And Alpha 35 Juliet Tango from Tonga may be a little more difficult for average stations, as will Zulu Kilo 3 Alpha from Tokelau Islands, both in the Pacific Ocean. But if you don't have a beam and a linear amplifier, well, why not try FT8? For VHF and up, it's another very unsettled-looking set of weather charts for the week to come, suggesting that once again rain scatter will be the go-to mode on the gigahertz bands. The hidden message here is that this means low pressure and a general lack of high pressure and temperature inversions for enhanced tropo conditions. It can sometimes be useful to explore areas of high pressure a little bit further away, and in the next week we find a large high resident between the UK and the Azores. A ridge from this high could occasionally just reach out to the southwestern corner of the British Isles and give a small chance of tropo paths from Southern Ireland, Southwest England and South Wales towards Spain and perhaps as far as the Canaries or Azores. Moon declination reached minimum on Saturday, so we'll see an increase in moon window lengths and peak moon elevation as the week goes on. Apogee is on Thursday, so losses will be high as well. The only plus is that sky noise on VHF is low all week. There is a flurry of meteor showers this week, with the largest, the Draconids, with a zenithal hourly rate of 10, peaking on the 9th. This is followed by the southern Taurids on the 10th and the Delta Aurigids on the 11th. So we should see some better meteor shower conditions. And that's it from the propagation team for this week. Remember, if you'd like to hear the local news for your part of the world, then tune into the amateur radio station that provides that service for where you live. To read a full transcript of this news broadcast and to find the local news as well, just have a look on the RSGB website under news. I'm Bob McCready, G0FGX, and this has been the TX Talk podcast of the GB2 RS News from the Radio Society of Great Britain.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. About a year or so ago, I received a message from a friend of mine. The message asked if I would have or could find a use for some amateur radio gear from their active amateur father, who became a silent key. That started a sequence of events that leads us here, today. In the year that followed that message, I became the grateful owner and archivist of an amateur shack that belonged to Walter, Victor Kilo 6 Bravo Charlie Papa, Silent Key. Walter had two calls that I know of, VK6BCP, last logged on the DX cluster on the 5th of April 2012. His other call, from Switzerland, was Hotel Bravo 9 Charlie Alpha India, last reported on the cluster on the 23rd of February 2005. The more I dig into Walter's collection of all things that make a shack, coax, connectors, boxes with spares, power supplies, odds and ends, the more I find a kindred spirit. I never met Walter, but he and I share the same sense of order. We sort things in the same way. We have the same kinds of things on hand, and it's gotten to the point where it's hard to tell where his shack ends and mine begins. Walter's shack contributed several radios, some of which I loan out to beginning local amateurs. I took one with me on a recent trip, and I've been using one to run a weekly net to see how this particular radio works and what quirks exist. One of the requirements to actually switching on that last radio brings me to breadcrumbs. I needed a power supply to make the valves glow. Well, the digital display, but you get the idea. There was a suitable power supply on the shelf, but I had no idea when it was last switched on, if it worked, if it would set fire to my shack, what the state of it was. It looked near new, no scratches on the paint, bit dusty, but it looked as well loved as my own power supply, which is now coming up to nearly a decade old. I picked it up and the power supply rattled. Never a good thing in a device that has no moving parts. On closer inspection, I noticed that only 4 of the 14 screws were holding the case together, and it stopped me from plugging the thing in and turning it on, with a standby fire extinguisher at the ready. Mind you, I might have been slightly exaggerating with the fire extinguisher. I did what any enterprising radio amateur would do in that situation. I got out a screwdriver,
and extracted the four remaining screws and lifted the lid. I wasn't sure what I would find, but nothing prepared me for what was there, though Walter, being Swiss, should have. Inside this lovingly maintained power supply, I found a little Ziploc bag with 10 screws, the ones missing from the case. This was the source of the rattle. I also found a disconnected fan lead. Actually, it had been purposefully cut and folded back. Now, why do you suppose that was? For my money, Walter knew this power supply well. His power requirements didn't need a fan. Truth be told, mine probably don't either. And to keep everything in one place, and to remind himself that he'd made a modification, he'd done the smart thing. Made it obvious that something had been modified. He could have put a sticker on the case, but over time that would have faded. He could have carved his initials into the case and carved an instruction. But both of those would have reduced the aesthetics of the power supply, and if his call sign ever changed, or if he reconnected the fan, he'd have to start again. What I found was something that gave me pause to consider how you manage to document what you've done, not only for yourself, but for others who might stumble on your modification. I'm certain that Walter never considered that one day I'd be telling you this story and thanking him for his preparation, but that's exactly where we are. You might come away from this wondering what the point was of all this. The point is, you can prepare your shack for events that might not happen. You might lose your memory, become a silent key, or have a beginner borrow your kit. You'll never know what it will be. What you can do is make it possible to discover that something has been changed. Walter could have just as easily put all 14 screws back in, and I would have never been any the wiser. I might have thought that the fan only came on under load, instead of not coming on at all, ever, because the lead had been cut. My first sign of trouble would have been magic smoke escaping and perhaps the need for a fire extinguisher. Leaving breadcrumbs for discovery is a really simple and helpful way to document your adventures. Thank you, Walter. Victor Kilo 6, Bravo, Charlie, Papa, Silent Key. It's been a pleasure to know you through your shack. I'm Ono. Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Title music is by Croatian artist Blasko and is published under Creative Commons. You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net, DM is for Daily Minutes, and on several other platforms. De internetfaciliteiten en studio hardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl, 70MHzShop.nl.
Daily Minutes Podcast. Whoever hears this is crazy.
En microfoon naar retour.